Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
.com.
Rider Nation, are you ready? This November, the Grey Cup touches down in the heartland, and it's our time to bring it. Tonight, it's preseason action as the green and white battle the BC Lions on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Nobody covers your team like our team. Now, let's go live to the stadium with your voice of the Riders, Michael Ball and Luke Mullender, as they get you ready for kickoff. This is Rider Nation Pregame on Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
Good evening, Saskatchewan, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Thanks for making us part of your game day ritual. Tonight is the final preseason tune-up for both the BC Lions and your Saskatchewan Rough Riders, live here from BC Place. And each Rider Nation pregame show begins with press coverage with our friend Glenn Suter, former Rider great safety and the lead football analyst on TV in this country with TSN. And his segment is brought to you by North Home Windows, designing, building, and installing window systems in Saskatchewan for Saskatchewan conditions. Google North Home Windows or call 1-866-362-6525. Glenn Suter, it's nice to be in your neck of the woods, so to speak. My first time in this broadcast booth, and I have to say, love the sight lines here.
Yeah, it's a great stadium. You know, and I've heard at times people say it's too bad that they have to play in BC Place, and I think it's ideal. I mean, it's a fantastic building. It's got a massive big screen. I think it's the second largest in North America after Dallas. And this is a beautiful building that can control climate. I mean, if you play outdoors in Vancouver, you're going to get rained on a ton. Not here.
No.
The fans are going to be comfortable and they're going to enjoy an improved football team.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I want to get into that in a second. Let's talk off the field, though. Luke Mullender, my main man, said this is the first time since probably 2008 he has seen any type of physical advertising around here. You get closer to the stadium, and I walked down here this morning before it rained, and you see on like the light posts, BC Lions, and they got a slogan and their logo. It's shaping up nice here.
I saw them as well, and I mentioned the same thing to my wife. I just like this new owner, Amar Doman, is local. He's got the resources, but it's more than the resources. It's the commitment. It's the investment. You know, not just financially, but emotionally. Everything that you got, you want to, you know, he has said he wants every kid in this province on game day to be wearing orange and black. And, you know, that's probably impossible, but that's a great goal. And if he gets halfway there and a third of those people come and see a game, this building will be full again. And, I've seen it happen. I saw when the late Bob Ackles took over in B.C. You know, before that, it was really struggling in attendance, and it was tough times for the B.C. Lions. But he came in. He started the Lion Backers, which was a corporate group that started. And I went to a lot of those meetings early on, and there was maybe five people in them at the beginning and 50 at the end. And he was putting together this great community corporate fan-based football team that was going to entertain the home crowd. And I think Amar Doman has a very similar approach. I've seen it turn around here before, and I am fully expecting it to turn around again.
Okay, you said the makings of a good football team. It starts at quarterback, Nathan Rourke. I know you were on with Don Hewitt yesterday, but for our new audience here on the pregame show, should we buy the Nathan Rourke experience yet? Are you liking what you see so far and what you're hearing?
Yeah, I do. I really do. You know, I went and I did some more research and went and listened to some clips from former teammates at Ohio University where he played his college ball, and every single one of them said the thing that I love, which that this guy is the ultimate team guy. In fact, I read one article where the reporter asked several times for him to talk about himself, and he never would. You know, he said, you know, I know you're trying to get my story, but this isn't about me. This is my teammates. This is our team. And I'm going to talk about those guys and what we can do better, what I can do better. I can certainly tell you what I want to improve upon, but this is about my teammates. If he's a great teammate, he's making all the throws physically in camp, from what I understand. Looks good. His teammates behind him. Now, if the coaching staff is patient with him, like they were with Nylon Gray, I use that as an example because he was given so many opportunities on different teams, showed signs of greatness, and then sometimes it was a disaster, and hung around 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
you know, had a certain level of success, but not breaking through. If they're half as patient with Nathan Rourke, you know, I think he can do it. Now, I want to ask you this, Ballsy, because we have the same job. Mm-hmm. Are you struggling like I am with leaning into the Canadian aspect of Nathan Rourke, but not making it about that he's a Canadian? He's just a great football player and a good prospect, and let's put aside his passport for a second.
Slippery slope, because if you do that, you're almost feel like you're devaluing the fact that you're not highlighting that he is Canadian, but if you highlight it that
too
he is,
much,
then it's like, well, he's just, you know, he's Canadian. But I think what a lot of teams are doing now, this is a very interesting experiment. I know when I talked to the Craigs, Reynolds, and Dickinson, they're like, I'm interested to see how this Canadian thing goes, because they're not paying him a lot of cash. They can spend money in other areas, beefing up their defense, beefing up their old line, and if this, I mean, they'll eventually maybe have to pay him, but right now they're paying him, you know, almost a little bit higher than Canadian Tire money, and you know what I mean?
So,
I know where you're going with that. It's kind of a slippery slope, but I'm like you. I don't think it is a negative to promote him. He's a Canadian quarterback. I'd love to see it work, because it's good on so many levels. Like, we just started this interview. I mean, if you get a Canadian star in BC when your owner is committed to turning people into BC Lion football fans, boom, that's a win-win. You'll be stacking money everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, if this guy is 7-2 by Labor Day, and he is averaging 300 a game, keeping that interception touchdown ratio on the right side of that ledger, then, you know, we're talking about a kid that is now opening the eyes and dreams of a lot of young quarterbacks in our country that probably up to now were like I was. I was a quarterback coming out of high school. But I demanded the colleges that I talked to, I said, if you're bringing me in as a quarterback prospect, I'm not coming to your school. I'm coming to your school if I can play DB. Because in my mind, I wasn't going to get a chance, even if I was good enough,
right?
Which I don't think I was. But even if I was good enough, I wasn't going to get a chance, even in my own country, to try out as a quarterback and be a Canadian. So that's been the mindset of a lot of kids for a long, long time. And that's starting to change. And if Nathan Rourke even has moderate success early on, because it's going to take time, he's going to have downtimes, but if he can be moderately successful early on, man, the dreams of many, many kids are going to say, maybe why not me? Why can't that be
me? Yeah, it's 100%. If I can squeeze this in before we let you go, speaking of Canadians, the Riders are looking for their 7th Canadian starter. That's an interesting angle here tonight. Sam Emelis, the guy out of Louisiana Tech, 7th overall pick receiver, had a good game last week.
Liked it.
That is something where the Riders could look there, and I'm thinking that would probably be their best bet with Swerve, Kyron Moore on the shelf till Labor Day. I like what the Riders are doing. The thing I'm concerned about with Canada is, hey, let's just plug as many linemen guys as we can on the line and have them as special teamers. But the Riders, you know, the Bombers with the running backs, the Riders with the receivers. They're just getting the guys and putting them where they think they'll best succeed. And I like that attitude.
Yeah, and don't tell me that Schaefer Baker can't be a 1,000-yard guy.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I've been involved with this league my whole life. He's capable physically of being a 1,000-yard guy. He's got to stay tuned in mentally like they all do, because that's so important at this level. But these Canadian receivers in the Saskatchewan lineup can be 1,000-yard receivers. And it doesn't matter that they didn't play in Alabama.
Yep.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. One final note before I got to go, but Nathan Cherry?
Yes, I heard he's been doing real well.
Apparently, and I just heard this story a couple boosts down from Julio Caravetta, who was at camp. He said he talked to the O-line. He said their O-line can't block Nathan Cherry in practice.
Isn't that awesome?
And he might, U of S kid, They went to him apparently and said, "You made the team. Now what you need to do is work on some of the things that you can improve upon, and don't worry about us seeing you in a compromising position in practice because you're working on some of your weaknesses. So we want you to do that. You've made the team. You proved it. Let's go."
Great way to end it. Thanks, Suits. Appreciate it, man. Okay, man. That's Glenn Suter joining us here for North Home Windows, designing, building, and installing window systems in Saskatchewan for Saskatchewan conditions. This segment brought to you by Cooperator. See Aaron at Aaron and Associates Insurance in Regina, Wood River Controls, Young's Equipment, and Indian Head Chrysler. Also want to thank Access Communications, Sask Milk, The Wireless Age, your SaskTel authorized dealer, McDougall Auctioneers, and the Salford Group. We'll be back with more of the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider.
Your voice of the Riders, Michael Ball, is breaking down today's matchups with coaches, guests, and all the info you need to know. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation Pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
And welcome back to BC Place, Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. This segment brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy, your SAS Party Caucus, the company that we know as SaskTel, and Right Way Manufacturing. Now, this show, the Craig Dickinson Show, can be heard each Monday on our SportsCade show in Regina. We caught up with Coach Craig Dickinson after the ball game on Tuesday. It's brought to you by Saloon Tires.
I kept it real with the team. I said, I think we're better than what we showed. I think we've got to clean up a few things. We've got to take better care of the football. I thought we gave it away too much. But for the most part, I was proud of the effort. And there's going to be good film to watch, and we'll do some evaluating and go from there.
Luke and I, would we be wrong in our concern about the offensive line? We know you got to kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, put Taron Vaughn on a pitch count because he's just coming back from injury. Logan Ferland's had a bit of issues. I'll be honest with you, Coach. I was looking for more from the Ty Rogers and Jamal Campbell early on in camp. I'm not an offensive lineman. I'm just a 5'8" guy that never played on the line. But just your thoughts on the performance of some of those guys on that offensive line.
Yeah, well, we messed one up early. I know the Ty, he's supposed to squeeze down on that first hit that that Mason took. So we had a mental mistake on that. Outside of that, you know, to be honest with you, I felt like we did a decent job getting off the ball as an offensive line. I thought we ran the ball fairly well. But you're right, the quarterbacks were having to move a little bit and have some guys in their face. So we'll look at the film and go from there. But that first pressure early in the game, the Ty is supposed to squeeze that down, and he didn't. And that was a tough start for the game, that's for sure.
Coach, you've alluded to the fact that you haven't seen the game film, obviously, so it's a tough question to ask. But what's your evaluation sort of first thing when it comes to these quarterbacks?
I thought they did a decent job, to be honest with you. I thought the rhythm was at times not great, but, you know, we only punted three or four times. We just turned the ball over too much, Luke. So I got to watch the film. You know, we played so many guys tonight that it's really hard to say, you know, what each quarterback did. But yeah. I didn't think they lost the game. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, and the second piece of that, Coach, is the running backs. I felt like Hickson and Morrow and I felt the guys really ran hard today. What did you think?
Yep, I agree. I thought that was the bright spot is those three running backs, Cooper, yeah, Hickson, and J-Mo. And then it was nice to see Emulous, you know, the draft choice, make a play there. He's got some skills. You could see it. You could see it when he caught that ball. And then and we made a play there late to get us back in the game. So I was proud. I thought our guys, especially in the second half, a couple guys stepped up and made a few plays. But we need more guys to do that to win games in this league.
I want to talk about some of the local guys, okay? Like Lacombo in man coverage, it looked like there. Made a great play down in the end zone there, the north end zone. And then Riley Borsma, he had one over the middle. He maybe should have. I mean, you're coming over the middle. You might as well put your body on the line because you're going to hear it from the coaches if you don't. But other than that, I thought he played a pretty good game as well. A couple local guys there.
I agree with you. Nelson's, what you saw today is what we've seen all camp. He's been outstanding. He's been on a pitch count a little bit coming off that Achilles, but he can run with anybody. I think he can play a number of positions in the secondary, and I think he's got a real future in the CFL, that's for sure. Borsma, first game, and you know, professional game, and I thought he did fine. You know, he missed one, you're right, but he also made a play up the sideline there where he got it and got some extra yards. So I'm proud of those two guys. Those two guys showed well tonight.
What do you think of your special teams? Nell missed a makeable 35-yard field goal, but then he made a nice 46-yarder. You came back, and then Jonathan Johnson with a nice punt return that set you guys up. That was a nice little shimmy and shake, and then he got the edge.
Yeah, that was good. You know, we need to find a returner. That's one thing we do need to do. I thought Pope, honestly, would have a little better game. He struggled because he's got some juice, but he struggled catching the ball, and that's not good. But Johnson looked good on that last one. And then, like I said, Nell's been good all camp. Even that first kick, he hit it really well. It just hooked on him late. So we'll see if we can take him to BC. I don't know if we can, but Henry Nell's a good football player, and I think he can kick in this league, if not for us, for somebody.
Coach, former defensive lineman, obviously I got to ask you this. What do you think of your guys up front on the defensive side?
Just okay, to be honest with you. I didn't sense that we were in the backfield. First of all, that quarterback for Winnipeg can really run, can he? That Drew Brown. We had trouble containing him, so he makes life tough. You know, it's hard for a quarterback to last 18 games when he plays that way, but man, he can make you look silly in a couple, and that's what he did. He scrambled. I bet you he rushed for over half their yards.
Coach,
I don't know, I have to see it, but I think our D-line can play better than they did.
That's Coach Craig Dickinson in conversation with us after Tuesday's game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Yes, that's right. We're back at it here Friday night under the big top on the left coast. Riders and the BC Lions wrapping up the preseason for both of these teams. When we come back, we'll hear from Lions GM Neil McAvoy. This is our Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
Rider Pride worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620CKRM.com.
And thank you for tuning in to our Rider Nation pregame show. This segment of the show brought to you by Spreads.ca, Dagelman Industries, and the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency. The BC Lions on draft night took four Saskatchewan products. They took Nathan Cherry, Noah Zur, and Riley Pickett, all from the U of S, and Ryder Varga, who will wear number 73 tonight from the University of Regina Rams. And I had a chance to catch up with Neil McAvoy and talk about that and his young Canadian quarterback.
I don't know, do I call you the Saskatchewan Lions? Boy, you guys went on a run with Saskatchewan kids in the draft. Just talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of preparation goes into the Canadian Football League draft, and, you know, we had spent basically from December starting to put our names into order, and so on draft day, you know, not that you're not thinking, but you just have the sheet in front of you and you're just picking the names. When the guys get checked off, you cross them off your list. And so our top three, Nathan was obviously in that and he was available, so we picked him. And then when we got 12, we wanted an offensive lineman, and the best offensive lineman on our board at that time was Mr. Zur. So the two Saskatchewan guys we started off, and that's just the way it went. And you know what, there was actually a chance to even pick more, but at the end of the day, we just felt that other positions were more of a need, so we went that way. But at the end of the day, we bring in good football players regardless of where you're from, and the province of Saskatchewan has always produced good football players, and so we're excited about bringing those young men to British Columbia and having them be BC Lions.
Neil McAvoy, what did you like about Nathan Cherry? Because I called him on our draft show right after he got drafted, moments after, and he was even surprised. He said, you know, I just settled it into my pizza and wings, and then I get this call, and it's a BC number, and I'm like, well, that can't be for me. So he even thought he'd go later than number three. What did you like about him?
Well, you know what? All our coaching staff and all our scouts felt that he was ready to play today. There, you know, were guys in the draft that maybe have a higher ceiling, but we felt we wanted a guy to come in at that position and be able to give us reps in 2022. And it was a consensus that, you know, Nathan was that player that would be able to come in right away and help us now. And I don't believe he has a lot. I believe he has lots of good football years. Again, those tough guys from Saskatchewan, they come in and play in the Canadian Football League for a long time. So It was an easy pick for us, a position of need, and, you know, like I say, a good young man that we're going to bring in and be happy with as a BC Lion.
Got a good Humboldt guy there, a Husky alum in Kelly Bates on your coaching staff. And then, like you said, you went number 12 with Noah Zur, who was thought to be the most pro-ready offensive lineman coming out of the draft, according to a lot of the so-called draft experts. What do you like about that big building with feet, Noah Zur, as I like to say?
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Ready to go. You know what? He was on our draft board as our top guy, as our top offensive lineman. So I was nervous that once we picked Nathan, that and a couple offensive linemen, especially the young man from Ottawa, went number two. Mm-hmm. That you know, we weren't going to be able to pick an O lineman that we liked at 12. But when Noah was there and we were able to get him, it was an easy choice for us. And so our first two picks, we can't we're really excited about it. Just turns out they're both two Saskatchewan boys, but two good football players at the end of the day will help us out.
How about Ryder Varga from the Rams, a guy that's a really good football player as well, a good young man. I know him well, and you know, he would project to be a pretty good special teams guy. He's coming back to finish his engineering. How does that factor in to your decision in picking him at 29, I believe?
Yeah, honestly, a guy that we wanted to pick at that point as a future guy. So Ryder will come to training camp and see what it's all about and then go back to school, you know, to finish his degree and play in U-Sport in 2022 and then come back to us in 2023 and compete for a job. But really good football player, again, a good guy. And we, at that point, we had picked the guys we really wanted, and we felt we could take, you know, a guy that wasn't going to help us this year and a futures pick for us. So we were excited about that pick as well.
And, okay, just give me a comment on Riley Pickett, the other Saskatchewan guy from the U of S Huskies, kind of a running mate with Nathan Cherry on that D-line that was very productive on their Vanier Cup run.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that just came down to when we were picking at number 41, I believe it was, who is the best athletic special teams player on the board still available? And that person was Riley Pickett. Turned out he was also a Saskatchewan player, but the reality was it just went down to that point. When you get past the, you know, you're in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, you're just going off what your board tells you to do. And the most athletic guy, the top guy on our board at that time was Riley Pickett. So again, an easy pick for us.
All the talk, though, my friend, is about what you're doing at quarterback with Rourke and Michael O'Connor, and still some things to shake down before we get to rookie camp and then into camp. But just talk about the BC Lions' mindset at the quarterback position, because, you know, football's a copycat league, and I've talked to a few guys around the league, and they're very interested to see how this goes.
Yeah, you know what? And we're only questioning it because we're Canadians. We always question ourselves. Uh-huh. I'm a Canadian kid. If Nathan Rourke was a young quarterback from the University of Ohio that grew up in Chicago, we would say, what a great find by the BC Lions. They've done it again. They've got a great quarterback. But because he's Canadian, we all now have to question ourselves. Nathan's done nothing but come in and play at a high level. He practiced basically all last year at the number one spot because of the injury to Mr. Riley. So he's done all the things that we've ever asked him to do. And I'm excited to show everybody at exactly what this young man can do and show us that Canadians can actually play the quarterback position. We're all going to be excited and happy for him.
That's the general manager of the BC Lions, Neil McAvoy, talking about their draft night and the selection of three U of S Huskies and one U of R Ram. Of course, we heard Glenn Suter talk about the fact that Nathan Cherry has got rave reviews, not just from the coaches, but the offensive linemen in camp. Even Boom Guachum, their defensive end, is raving about this Nathan Cherry guy who didn't make the trip to Calgary last week for the preseason game because he was told he already made the team. So that is making the BC Lions confident that they made the right choice at number three in the CFL draft. When we come back, we'll get to your injuries and scratches. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage with Michael Ball on The Source 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside BC Place. The sun poking through the roof here under the big top in Vancouver, getting set for the preseason finale between the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the BC Lions. This segment of the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, brought to you by Bayer Crop Science, science for a better life, AgCo, and Bronc Beer from Last Spike Brewing Company. Time now for your pregame injury report, or scratches, we should say. Brought to you by SAS Construction Safety, focused on injury prevention. The SAS Construction Safety Association provides affordable safety training to the construction industry. Not so much going to concentrate on injuries, but we will tell you who's not dressed. AC Leonard is out. He is just held out for precautionary reasons because of a hand injury. Derek Moncrief took a knock on the head in training camp. Both of those guys expected back for week one when we're going for real. Micah Tights on the six-game injured list because of a groin injury. Jorgen Hughes back at home. Zach Zinomirsky will fill in once again for him, long snapping, the Western product. Michael Pinckney back at home. Josiah St. John out with a knee injury. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL. Connor Claussen not in the lineup. Riley Schick, those are both Thunder players. We've got David Kenny, who is our defensive star after the last game, not in the lineup. Jake Hardy is out. Wesley Lewis, another Canadian receiver, not here. Nick Coe didn't make the trip, and neither did returning player Keon Adams. So that's your scratches and your injuries for SAS Construction Safety. Lining up at left defensive end. He was right defensive end last game, but he's left defensive end this game because Charleston Hughes gets the start on the right DN spot. It is Pete Robertson, and I had a chance to catch up with Pete this week.
Camp been pretty good. You know, guys came out and was showing tremendous effort, getting to the ball, learning plays, getting things down as a defense, and it was pretty good. Cam was pretty good. Got a couple more days left, so.
45 instead of 93. What's behind the number switch?
Right. So the years I played professionally in the NFL down south, I was number 45 when I entered the NFL. So that's been like my professional number. I was number 10 in college, but when we got here last year, Deion had number 45, and I tried to get it from him, but he didn't want to budge on it, so I had to rock with 93 last year, but I'm back in the 45 now.
And you did rock with 93. As the season went on, you really started to find your own. How is this Pete Robertson different than that Pete Robertson, or is it just an extension going from last year to this year?
I say it's just an extension, but I say this year, the biggest part was just being healthy. Had a great camp last year, and it was just like the first game I had my injury where I was out 5 to 6 games, and it took me a little bit to come back, to get in the motion, to get used to the yard off the ball, the actual game speed here. But it didn't take me too long. I didn't feel like I had a good group of guys that I played with, like Michael Johnson last year and Keon and AC Wood. Them guys helped me, you know, get back into the motion when I came off my injury. So
as an American, is it better or worse, that yard off the ball? Do you like it? Or
that's a good question, but I prefer to be on the ball, not that, you know, they yard off, but I prefer to be on the ball. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to just playing the game, there's a hero over there. You just got to make plays at the end of the day, so you got to be one of them guys.
So how do you like playing in the Shivers defense? Let's talk about that first.
I like playing in it a lot. It's a concept where anybody should be able to grasp and get along with it, and it gives you a lot of freedom to make plays, you know, especially at backer and DB and the D-line. He gives us a freedom to run around, you know, what we need to do. So I enjoy playing with him. He a great coach as well.
And how about playing our game, the Canadian game? I mean, you seem to really catch on as a season.
I feel like it took me a little second, you know, but I definitely caught on, especially on that back end and getting into the playoffs, caught on very good. I don't think I say it is cold in Canada, so you got to do a lot of mental preparation to get ready to actual play. But now it's definitely fun, you know, playing out here in Canada.
You know, you can speak to this. You were in the NFL. You're here. I don't think people really realize the quality of talent here. Sometimes we look at the NFL's way up here and the CFL's down here. There's really not that much of a difference.
Yeah, no, definitely, because it's guys that come here and can actually create and have a good living with them playing football here, but the talent is not. People think the talent is far off, but it's definitely not. There's some guys up here that can actually play the game. You know what I mean? And I say play the game, I'm as in knowing the game, you know how to use their body and their, you know, unique talents to help them win up here. So it's a definitely good league, and I love it because the competition is out this world for sure.
What's your goal for tomorrow's preseason game against yourself?
To come out healthy. That's my main goal. I'm gonna let God handle everything else. He blessed me with the talent I have. So my main thing is to control what I control, to come out healthy and be ready for the next preseason game and be ready for the season coming up.
Well, as you can tell, I caught up with him before the Winnipeg game. We've had two games in 4 days. He'll play tonight against the BC Lions. We'll be back with more of the Rider Nation pregame show on the Co-operators Rough Rider
on Instagram. Anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame, only on Rider Radio, the source. 620 CKRM.
And wherever you're listening across the Rough Rider Radio Network, thanks for making us part of your day. GX94 Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM Saskatoon, 900 CKBI Saskatchewan Country in Prince Albert, Beaches Radio 750 AM in Melfort, 102.3 FM CJNS in Meadow Lake, 1050 AM CJNB in North Battleford, and your flagship station for Rough Riders football, 620 CKRM. I'm Michael Ball along with Luke Mullender. And Luke, we're going to start this portion of the pregame show talking about the quarterback comparisons, brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. Good little matchup here for the starting quarterback, starting with our guy, Cody Fajardo.
Yeah, I'm excited. Cody Fajardo has had the camp he usually has now that we've gotten to know him a little bit. Hasn't been pedestrian, but it hasn't been wow. Normally, when the lights come on, though, he's a lot better. So I'm excited about seeing Cody for the first time in a long time. But more importantly, this offense is in its second year under Jason Moss, and all the playmakers that you look at on the depth chart, they're in their second year. I'm excited because you got Shaq Evans, Justin McKinnis, Duke Williams, Chafin Bake out there. Again, there's that potential. So hopefully things start clicking very early on for this team, and it just rolls on into next week.
Rider Nation, last year, remember, week one at Mosaic Stadium, Nathan Rourke got the surprise start, started slow, came back, and did a great job in a very tough stadium to play in. Of course, Mike Riley would come in off the bench, but he had that elbow injury. But Nathan Rourke showed very well in his first ever game in the CFL. He is the undisputed number one quarterback here in BC, so we're looking forward to seeing what he has to do. Cody Fajardo is pumped about playing on a field with different hash marks.
Crowded anymore, so I think it'll create more yards after catch. Most of the time when you throw the boundary off the left hash or right hash, it was a catch tackle for 6 or 7 yards. Now you can see that guys are catching it, getting a little bit more yards after catch. And then the throws to the field, you're able to make a little bit more of those throws without putting them so far wide out there to catch the ball, and you have to get it out quicker. So it's been really awesome. I think a lot of the explosions have come from the hash marks being moved in, so it'll be interesting to see how defenses play it and how it translates in the regular season.
How much is it going to change to the wide side of the field? I kind of got Rob Bag rule. Rob Bag played many, many years just waiting for a catch out there. From a guy like KSB, how can you put him in to be more of an awesome?
Yeah, I mean, if you guys watched yesterday's practice, he went off. He probably had 10 or 12 catches, but that's what's so awesome about our offense is we can move guys around. And I told all the receivers this, it might be your day, it might not be your day. You might get one catch, and what I think has been really cool over this course of the training camp is you see Shaq went off one day with a bunch of catches downfield. Next day, Duke goes off, bunch of catches downfield. And then yesterday, you got Schaefer Baker catching a bunch of balls. So we can move guys around, and that's what makes this offense so deadly, in my opinion, is we got a ton of talented guys. And now he gets more passes to the wide side of the field, and it's not a strain on the quarterbacks. I think it'll kind of show who's got the arm to make the throw and who doesn't.
we talked about the deep ball a lot last year. It looks like a lot of confidence in the deep ball in training camp. Duke Williams, Shaq Evans coming down with them. What are your thoughts on how that's been going?
It's been great, to tell you the truth, and you guys have seen it firsthand. You know, I track all the stats, and I think we're completing at a high percentage on the deep balls, and guys are making plays. I think the chemistry is really getting a lot better. You got to think, last year Duke came in midweek. We're trying to game plan for, you know, a team, and he's just trying to get to know the offense. Shaq's coming off an injury. We had guys filtering in and out. There was just no chemistry built, and so that's what's so great about this training camp and being able to have preseason games where we can throw with the guys and we can build that chemistry now, and I think it's going to pay us dividends moving forward.
It was supposed to be preseason game one yesterday for you guys. Are you just anxious to get back into a game again?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a lot better when you know you have preseason than last year. Last year was tough because it was like, okay, week one, people are trying to rip your head off. The preseason, you kind of get a flow of a game again. Clock management's big. You can feel kind of just the flow and the atmosphere of a game, which is really good. And I think that's what makes preseason so great. And also young guys. Last year was very hard for young guys to make the team with no preseason games. And so I know all the young guys that we have, a lot of talented guys who are eager and excited for their first opportunity in the preseason.
You play against a lot of middle linebackers in the league. Darnell Sankey every day in practice. This would be pretty aggressive out there, elusive, and cover sideline to sideline.
Absolutely. That's you said it right. He can cover sideline to sideline. He's not a mismatch on running backs. You know, a lot of times you see a middle linebacker and you want to get your running back out running routes, and he's not a mismatch. He does a great job covering man-to-man coverage. I'm just excited to see him in green so he's not chasing me around. I told him it's going to be good not to see him in my nightmares anymore wearing red. So I'm happy to see him in green, and like you said, he's had a really strong camp, and I think he's meshing well. Our defense is really doing a good job of hiding looks. I thought in the back end we were a little bit younger, right? So a little concerned about that, but I think they've gelled really well. We have some veterans that have really helped those guys move along, and guys who have played significant games last year. But I'm really excited to compete against our defense because I know they'll be the top in the league.
Cody, I talked to Albert Awachi. I talked about how well you run the huddle. Do you feel like in your third year as a starting quarterback, this is your team? Like, do you feel this is your team?
Absolutely. And I noticed that most when we were striking, and I was able to get everybody participating in our walkthroughs. And you can just tell how strong your voice is and how much guys respect your voice. And when I'm in meetings and I talk, guys are listening. And that's the respect you want. And it's been great, you know, to have a guy like Awachi who lays it all on the floor for you. I know that guy's going to give everything he can to keep me clean. Yesterday, I hit him on a long ball, and he made a nice catch, and I know he was fired up about that. So having guys like Awachi in the huddle, it makes it a little bit easier to be a leader. But it's really nice to feel and have that momentum from last year playing coming into this year, because I know after 2019 and 2020, I was really looking forward to hit the ground running, being the starting quarterback. And obviously, everybody knows what happens in 2020. So getting back to 2021, just trying to get back in rhythm. Now this year, I feel like I have that solidarity where I'm that guy.
Part of a quarterback's job is to be a counselor a little bit, because you talk about this guy wants the ball, he thinks he should have four of them, but it's that guy's day to have five. So you kind of got to be a counselor a bit, don't you?
Absolutely, and everybody's a competitor. So you'll get guys, especially in games and heated moments, like, hey, I'm open. But our receivers don't do that. They really understand this offense. And I just tell the guys, be patient. My biggest thing is if I could cut the ball in five pieces and give everyone a piece, I would love to do that. But to tell you the truth, it's just football, and they know that. And I think they got a real sense of it with training camp, where guys are doing well one day and then maybe don't see any balls, and just being patient, and they're ready to just hit the ground running.
That's Cody Fajardo, part of our quarterback comparison for Prairie Gun Traders. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
The voice of Canada's team worldwide. Listen online anywhere on the official Rider app or 620CKRM.com.
Welcome back to BC Place, the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, and we're coming to you live from the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth, best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com. This segment brought to you by SaskTel and Nick's Service, and it's time now for our weather conditions brought to you by Johnson's Grain. For all your grain marketing and crop input needs, visit johnsonsgrain.com. It's a beautiful night under the canopy at BC Place, so weather conditions will not be a factor. What is it?
at about 20 degrees Celsius in here, climate controlled, although I am sweating like a sinner in church. I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe it's nerves. I don't know. I'm kind of hot in the broadcast booth here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back into the McDougal Auctioneer broadcast booth and have three keys to the game. A different spin on that with our color commentator, Luke Molitor. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage with Michael Ball. Weekdays from 4 to 6:30 on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to BC, beautiful BC place. The sun is poking through the canopy roof here as we're getting set for the Riders and the BC Lions. Time now for our three keys to the game brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Okay, Luke, let's talk about not necessarily three keys, three players or three positions to watch. Let's go with number one, and I think we start in the Rider backfield offensively.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see sort of the continuation of the competition between Morrow, Hickson, and even Shaq Cooper. I think if I was the coach, I'd probably go with Frankie Hickson. I think he's got some great upside, and one of the things I liked about Frankie Hickson on Tuesday was his willingness to run between the guards and tackles. So I'm really excited about watching the second edition of this tryout between those running backs.
Now, interesting. I haven't noticed this guy a lot. He comes from Boston University, Boston Bears. His name is Jacob Prawl. He's lined up as one of the slots. Mm-hmm. But we noticed Jester Weah, who had a great game. Yeah. We made him our game star. I'm interested in what the Riders are going to do with that position. So Jester Weah, maybe a little Prawl in there, too.
Yeah, I've got Jester Weah as the guy to watch from that regard. And the reason why I'm really interested in Jester Weah is not just because he's having a good camp. There's obviously the conversation that you and I have had consistently in the last 2 weeks is, where is this seventh Canadian mm-hmm. going to come from, right? If the seventh Canadian ends up being another wide receiver like Samuel Emilius, right, mm-hmm. is Jester Weah the odd man out, right? I actually think that if I looked at this roster today, I'd move Jester Weah over and give him the start over Jacob Prawl. But again, mm-hmm. you never know what these coaching staff are thinking. They might move Jester Weah around a little bit today, see where they like him the most. But again, I think he's pushing to make this squad. And remember, folks, when we talk about making the squad, we're not just talking about the active roster. We're talking about the practice roster positions and obviously the injury designates mm-hmm. as well.
Oh, right. And the third player slash position to watch for Pattison Liquid Systems, according to Luke Molitor, I think has to be on the right side of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offensive line.
Yeah, and I don't like that we're actually talking about this. We've got Natai Rogers in here, who's a fourth-year player. We've got Jamal Campbell, who's been in the league since 2016. And frankly, I think they got outplayed by Tommy Champion, number 69, last game. What's worse is they got the majority of the reps. So when you look at this, and we talked about it already in our first segment together today, but this is a loaded mm-hmm. receiving core, right? I'm not willing to say it's the best one in the West, but it's a good one, right? There's so much potential here, especially with Cody Fajardo hoping to make the next step as an elite quarterback in this league. All eyes are on this offensive line. Let's hope Taron Vaughn stays healthy. Let's hope Logan Ferland makes the next step. Evan Johnson, Dan Clark, they're playing together. But this right tackle situation has to be declared here after today.
We'll take a break and be back with our starting lineups. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Stand up. Get loud. Bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation pregame on the home of the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
From the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth in BC, it's Michael Ball and Luke Molitor. Time to get to our starting lineups brought to you by Gowan Canada. Apply Avidex Microactive this fall to control early spring wild oat pressure. Include group 1 and 2 resistant biotypes. When the Riders have the ball on offense, the center's Dan Clark. The guards are Logan Ferland and Evan Johnson. The tackles are Natai Rogers and Taron Vaughn, who is back, and we're interested to see how he plays. Starting quarterback, Cody Fajardo, who has yet to throw a touchdown touchdown in preseason play. Not that that matters, but it would be nice to see him throw one tonight. Starting tailback is Jamal Morrow. The slot backs are Justin McKinnis, Duke Williams, and Jacob Prawl, and the wide receivers are Shaq Evans and Kean Schaefer Baker. Defensively for your Rough Riders in the 43 defense, from left to right on the line, it's Pete Robertson, Anthony Lanier, Garrett Marino, and Charleston Hughes, a name we thought we wouldn't call again, but he's back in green and white. The middle linebacker led the league in tackles last year with 97, Darnell Sankey. He is flanked on the Sam linebacker spot by C.J. Revis and the veteran Larry Dean playing the will. The corners are Blaze Brown and Nick Marshall. The halfbacks are Roland Milligan and Jeremy Clark, and your free safety, former BC Lion, former Montreal Alouette, and Saskatchewan Rough Rider safety wearing number 15, Mike Edom. Riders coached by Craig Dickinson, the Lions coached by Rick Campbell. When we come back, let's get it on. The final preseason game of the 2022 season, the Riders and the BC Lions from Vancouver. This segment of the pregame show was brought to you by Apple Murray College of Notre Dame, Sulphur Group, Golden West Trailers and Equipment, the Capital Auto Mall, Young's Equipment, and your Sask Party Caucus. You've been listening to the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider.